And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, I'm talking about this show goes from Huntsville back over to Chattanooga. I'm talking about from Tuscaloosa back over to Gadsden. I mean all the way down to that loveliest little village on the plains we call Auburn. Straight across the border from there to what we once again get to call Fort Benning. And then big old patches of North Georgia and Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure. All right, so I'm going to switch gears now. Dipper number two, you're welcome to keep texting in what your ups and downs are about the first 100 days. We'd love to hear them. 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. So tariff time. Let's talk about a little tariff action, a little bit of tariff in the news. Terrible tariffs. Oh, my gosh, tariffs are ending the world. Life as we know it has been tariffed. Let me ask you something. How much of y'all have actually, how many of y'all have actually felt the impact of tariffs? Is anybody? What has happened in your life that you look at and go, the tariffs caused this? JP, anything at all?
Not that I can think of.
No increased cost of groceries? Increased cost of gas?
Not really. And I mean, if there has been, it hasn't been noticeable enough for me to gripe about it.
I would think that's probably the case.
Yeah.
Now, I guess if you were investing in the market, you had a day where it went bad.
Yeah, yeah.
And then guess what? You turned around and had a day where it went really good.
Exactly. I think that's the only measurable thing is the stock market going down because of people panicking, being panickings. I think that was it.
But it came right back up.
Exactly, yeah.
And we recorded some of the better days ever right after that had one of the worst days ever because of market instability. The market gets spooked and things happen. I'm not trying to minimize it because people lost money and I get it. But what I'm saying is this, tariffs thus far have not truly impacted our individual lives a great deal. But they are impacting foreign policy and they are impacting the long term. This is a long haul moment, right? This is a moment where what happens to you and I economically 10 years from now could very well be a part of what's going on right now with tariffs. I'll tell you more about that in a minute. I will say this, so here's one news story I found fascinating. Did you hear about the story with Amazon?
Oh, yeah, I did.
So, hotair.com is where I pulled this one. Amazon says, never mind about the tariff breakout. So, here's the story. There's an organization called Punchbowl News. They're one of those kind of inside the DC Beltline, scoop news story sites. So, Punchbowl ran a story that said that Amazon was going to start posting all prices so you would see what it would have been had it not been for tariffs. Okay. So they were going to, they're going to have the tariff price and the pre-tariff price side by side. But the White House immediately got engaged on this. So stories from Hot Air says that White House Press Secretary Caroline Levitt clapped back on the issue real quick, calling it a hostile and political act if it was true. She accused Amazon of colluding with China to attack Trump's policies. I mean, basically they weren't going to sit still on this. Here's the thing, too. We just learned this story was updated. Trump actually called Bezos himself, the guy, Jeff Bezos, who owns Amazon. Trump called Bezos on Tuesday morning, complained about the reports. Two senior officials in the White House told CNN that the president was ticked. Trump confirmed Tuesday afternoon he did talk to what he referred to as that good guy, Bezos, who did the right thing, he said, and solved the problem very quickly. Amazon is now denying it was ever going to happen. And I think that may actually be the truth. But what we know is Punchbowl apparently got ahead of itself, looking for anything and everything to make tariffs look like the end of society as we know it. Holy cow, negative story. Trump, he's getting sideways with Amazon, except they didn't do a lot of fact-checking. Amazon is now saying, that was never actually a thing. We weren't going to do that. So basically, Punchbowl hit the publish button too soon, thought they had a thing, thought they could embarrass Trump. Trump and Bezos did talk. I suspect it was one of those things that Bezos said, let me check into this because I've never heard this before. It came back and said, ain't going to happen. So that went away quick. But what it is a clear example that the media desperately wants the first 100 days to be a failure. They desperately want the tariffs to become a thing that will destroy Trump's legacy. And yet we're seeing stories like this one from CNBC. CNBC, Phil. Did you go to CNBC? I did. Go to these places so you don't have to. CNBC, I hold the story right now in my calloused former paratrooper hands. President Donald Trump says he believes the U.S. will have a deal with India on trade very shortly. India. India is the most populous country in the world. Do you know that? You told me the population a while ago is what?
1.438 billion with a B.
Billion. Holy smokes.
Yeah.
That's four times the size of the United States. Good Lord. Anyway, President Donald Trump said Tuesday tariff negotiations with India are coming along great. He thinks the U.S. will strike a trade deal with the country. He said, I think we'll have a deal, Trump said. The prime minister, as you know, was here 3 weeks ago. They wanted to make a deal. And he and the Indian prime minister have got a pretty strong accord. So I think here's my prediction. You ready? My prediction is over the next 90 days, you're going to see one trade deal after another. Some of them are going to be blanket, like EU kind of things. Some of them are going to be individualized, like just with Australia, just with Canada, just with India. But what you're going to see is a realignment of trade around the world. And it never would have happened. I mean, no one can deny that even our friends have been sticking it to us because we were the sugar daddy of the world. Just like basically hosing us. And Trump points out, if I hadn't done it, it would have continued to rock on. And they were all making trillions out of us. And it was not reasonable. And so I could have sat here and, in fact, he said in that interview with Terry Moran from ABC News last night, he said, I'd have been a lot more comfortable. I could have sat here and done nothing. Like every other president before him did. But he chose to go ahead and smack some people around and change the dynamic. And now we're seeing things like this story. Fox Business. Two Trump administration sources told Fox Business on Monday this week, the president's working on larger trade deals with countries. That's why it's taken longer to hear about some of the announcements. Japan, Vietnam, Argentina, the United Kingdom, South Korea, European Union are most often mentioned by Donald Trump and his trade team. The White House said last week it had 18 new proposals on paper. That's lightning fast when it comes to trade agreements. Lightning fast. So there's a lot of progress being made. We now have 18 proposals on paper that have been brought to the trade team. And again, these are proposals on paper that countries have proposed to the Trump administration and to our government. So we heard on one report there are upwards of 170 countries that have now come back and said, hey, Mr. President, we'd like to work out a deal. That's huge for us. And here's something else I want everybody to keep in mind. The left is acting as if somehow or another Trump got dragged into tariffs. He didn't get dragged into it. Trump controls his own destiny with tariffs. He can raise them, lower them, mitigate them, do away with them with the stroke of a pen. He doesn't have to wait on a polarized Congress. He doesn't have to go get authority from the Supreme Court of the United States. He can literally say, my trade policy says tariff on you, but not on you. And oh, by the way, now I'll lighten that tariff because you're working with me. And oh, by the way, you over here, I'm going to increase it. He can do that. It's part of the leverage that he has to project our foreign policy on the world stage. And so we're looking right now at a president who is exercising every option to make America great again, one of which is economic. And he is changing the world dynamic. Keep that in mind. He is changing the world dynamic when it comes to trade. But then he's doing stuff to enhance it. Like taking out the Houthis, oh, by the way, is not just taking out a bunch of raggedy guys who have, you know, B-grade, Temu-purchased missiles. He's doing it because he's freeing up freedom of passage through the Suez. Because the world's commerce is being stymied by the Houthis. So he's putting our money where our mouth is. He's taking out the impediments to trade. He's opening up trade negotiations left and right. And he's holding some of the big dogs accountable, like even China. And y'all, that's massive. Speaking of China, story on Fox Business. China caves on 125% tariff for major U.S. export after White House predicts Beijing can't keep up. There's a lot of talk right now. I saw a great article. I posted it on my social media. You can follow me if you want to at @SinPhilWilliams. It's the same address on Facebook and on Twitter, @SinPhilWilliams. But Gordon Chang, who's I think he's an expatriate from China, maybe Hong Kong at the very least, but He is an expert on foreign policy as it relates to China. He wrote a great piece about how what we're watching right now is China not being able to keep up. He said there's no way in the world China can keep up with what's going on right now with tariffs. They're doing all they can, but in the end, we have the better ability to sustain, and China is falling behind. Fox Business reports, as of yesterday, China waived a 125% tariff on ethane products. Ethane is vital to some of their own industry, and they get a lot of it, believe it or not, from the U.S. So they're already going, okay, all right, tariff, 125% on you, but not on this piece. We can't do that. So what this is indicating is China realizes it could lose millions of jobs if it shuts down some of the things it relies on that come from the United States. So even though it's talking big stuff, it's having trouble keeping up, and it's already carving out exceptions. And that's pretty awesome. Last thing, I tell you what time we got. Yep, I'll do it right now. I got a piece here from Fox Business again. Apparently Fox Business was just my go-to on this topic. About the number of companies that are investing in the U.S. right now. We're talking like over $1 trillion in commercial investment in the United States. Why? Because companies are realizing that the tariffs are putting them in a position where they'd rather be here than over there, because that way their products are not getting tariffed on the way in. They're made in America. Taiwan Semiconductor announced it was going to put $100 billion toward advanced semiconductor manufacturing in the U.S. Eli Lilly, the drug maker, said it was going to establish 4 new manufacturing plants in the U.S. GE Aerospace says it's investing $1 billion in U.S. manufacturing. Apple says they're pledging $500 billion over the next 4 years to build on American innovation and high-skilled manufacturing. Hyundai has outlined a plan for a $21 billion investment in the United States since Trump took off. All this since Trump took office. NVIDIA, I said this one the other day. NVIDIA, this is high-tech, AI supercomputers. NVIDIA is building brand spanking new plants in Texas, and is making a massive capital investment. Abbott Laboratories, Chobani, Toyota, I could go on. I got a whole list here. I mean, Toyota alone is building an $88 million new investment in its plants in West Virginia. Tariffs. You tell me, are they working? I'm just saying.
And it's escaping me who said this, but somebody, a part of the White House, talking to the press, made the point of, you know, companies investing in America, like that's not a sign of a failing economy. That's a sign of an economy on the up, a thriving economy.
Yeah.
So it's all the nonsense and the fear mongering of tariffs are going to raise prices and crash the economy. If that were the case, if the U.S. economy was really going to be that bad, I don't think we'd be seeing this many investments. Just saying.
Here's the other thing, too. Trump's not going to get elected so he can crush the economy.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to get elected as a billionaire who's made his billions by smelling a deal and being able to work the art of the deal. And doing that because he's a beta male is not. He's now, listen, is something going to go wrong here, there, and the other? Maybe. I mean, I agree with him. I don't see everything as being 100%. He said that himself. But the truth of the matter is this. We have not had anybody in the office of the presidency with more proven acumen in terms of growing and investing in business than Donald Trump. And I think it's going to pay off. All right, we're taking a break right now. JP, we'll take that break. We'll go ahead and move to that break, and we'll come right back, and we'll wrap this thing up. And don't forget, coming up top of the hour, the Grand Council with Jeff Poor and Dale Jackson and little old me, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. All right, she held on during the break, so let me not waste any time and go right to the phones. Tammy from Newmarket. Hey, Tammy, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for your service, Bill.
Well, thank you so much.
Long-time listener. Loving listening to you and JP.
Well, thank you very much for that.
I just wanted to bring up an aspect that I don't really hear anyone else talking about, but being in the pharmaceutical business, I know in the last several weeks we have massive meeting because we source probably over half of our raw materials, APIs especially, from China.
Okay.
So we have had massive movements trying to source from India and many other countries, but mostly India. And the amount of money that, and we're just a small fry, okay? We do about $100 million a year, but we're a small fry. If we're doing this mass movement, how many other companies in America are having to move because their customers and we cannot absorb those types of tariffs, right?
Yeah.
And if India makes a deal with the U.S. first, they're going to lose our business for good. And nobody talks about that. So what's going to happen to those manufacturing facilities in China?
Yeah.
They're going to lose it, and they're going to lose our business for good.
I think that's got to be a wake-up call for China right there because, I mean, we are overall China's biggest trade partner by far.
Right.
But so let me ask you, Tammy, you don't have to name the company because I think that could be awkward for you, but are you in manufacturing? Are you in sales and distribution? Where are you in the pharmaceutical industry?
Well, we basically supply compounding pharmacies. So
gotcha.
We buy bulk raw materials. We repack it down into smaller, more manageable things for compounding pharmacies to use. And I'm the director of quality assurance.
Okay. Wow. All right. Well, then you're definitely seeing exactly what you're talking about. So those sourcings, are they readily available, or are they having to stand things up in India right now? Do you know?
Well, I mean, we're vying for their business, right? Because they can only produce so much. So we wanted to try and get to them and get our product secured, right? Because they're only going to be able to absorb so much that China usually makes.
Well,
so like I said,
yeah,
we're a small fish, so if everybody's moving.
It's a market shift. It absolutely is. I think it's going to be interesting to watch where it all pans out. Hey, Tammy, I'm about to hit the break, but thank you very much for the call. Thanks for being a Right Side Ruffian.
Oh, I love it. Thank you.
Well, thank you. All right. Take care. All right. Listen, we're about to hit a break. Tariff time. I didn't even scratch the surface, but the end result of this is tariffs are having an impact. Most of us are not individually seeing it all yet. Tammy's got a great story right there about part of her industry is already seeing the realignment of their supply chain. China is going to feel that pain and have to decide what it's going to do because can China sustain? Not as well as we can. At the same time, you got to hold on and strap in because this is not going to be over tomorrow, but we are hearing absolute movement on trade deals. And I think you're going to wind up seeing some massive trade deals starting to be announced like in the next 30, 60, and 90 days. You watch. I guarantee you, come the 180-day mark of the Trump administration, I think you're going to see some serious stuff getting put on the books. All right, coming back in just a minute, it's hour number 3. That means it's time for the Grand Council with Jeff Poore, Dale Jackson, and me, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.